Happy Halloween!
I'm Mindy.
And I'm Darren, and we are The Rants Macabre, a part of the Fangoria Podcast Network. For more information about the network, including other programs, how to follow the show, and find past episodes of The Rants Macabre, please visit fangoria.com. When you're into scary movies and the macabre, every day is kind of like Halloween, let's be honest. Instead of keeping to the standards or doing the very obvious reviewing of the Michael Myers Halloween series,
right,
which I'm actually very excited to do in the future.
And we'll do that in the future, but I mean, we can't be like everybody else right now.
So we thought we'd cover some more personal Halloween favorites. And when it comes to The Worst Witch, we're going to try something new, which
right,
is to say kind of an abridged commentary. I sure hope we're funny.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. We'll have to see how it works out. I'm not sure.
Okay, so this was especially fun because a couple of these I had never seen.
Yeah, and I was really surprised that you hadn't seen them because to me, these are like Halloween staples for me.
Yeah.
Or kind of everyday staples, some of them.
I guess I've run out of shame. I should have seen Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I can't believe that you've lived
20
this
years
long
ago
without seeing Rocky Horror.
Yeah, I'm not a big musicals guy.
Yes, it is a musical, but it's really not about like the musicalness of it. It's about the awesomeness of it, but we'll get into it. I'll argue later with you.
Okay, so we're getting ahead of ourselves. We will be covering Rocky Horror Picture Show because it's celebrating its 40th anniversary this year.
Yay!
But a smaller, less favorite.
But you can say it's a less favorite kind of film, but I think it's a great film to watch on Halloween or to watch around Halloween.
During the spookiest time of the year, there are a few guidelines all ghosts and goblins should follow. Always stay on sidewalks. Never go to a stranger's house. And never go out alone.
But we're talking about Trick or Treat from 2007.
Yeah.
It was written and directed by Michael Dougherty, who's mostly known for writing a few of Bryan Singer's comic book films.
Mm-hmm.
But later this year, he's going to have Krampus, A Christmas
Which
Horror
Which I'm looking
story.
Forward to because I really liked the...
The trailer looked good.
Dangerous Exports? Or
Rare Exports.
I never get that right. never get that right.
Yeah. So the movie stars Dylan Baker, which I never knew his name, but he's an actor you've seen in tons of movies.
Every single person in this film is in a million other things. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. You just see them all over the place. Yeah.
Also, Brian Cox and Anna Paquin. And they all seem like they've been in Bryan Singer movies before this. So Brian Cox and Anna Paquin from the X-Men movies.
Mm-hmm.
And Dylan Baker has been in a bunch of stuff, including Fido, the zombie movie.
Which I liked, yeah.
So it's an anthology film with four stories that are pretty well intertwined. I appreciate that like...
Right.
The characters are in the backgrounds of scenes of other
and
people.
And I like that. I like seeing what's going on, that this is a congruent universe, even though all this very different stories are happening.
And for what seems like a small town, like it's got a tremendous amount of fucked up stuff going down on Halloween. This isn't even Demon Night. This is Halloween proper.
They've all descended on the normally sleepy town of Warren Valley, Ohio, where the holiday and all of its strange traditions are taken very seriously.
It made me wonder how this town ever even had enough people to be in the population of this town. Because if Halloween is such a murder fest, like, does this happen only on Halloween? They reserve the murdering only for this day, or...
It's like the Purge, but for
Halloween
and
like,
how
theme. Do you keep your numbers up as a town? How do you keep your population up if you got a murder fest every 31st there?
It's funny. My girlfriend is obsessed with the BBC show Midsummer Murders, which is about a small town named Midsummer, which the show is like our Law and Order. So every week... people are being killed. And then
you're
people
like,
are being...
How many are left here?
Right. I mean, they kind of... They've got to put that on, like, the visitors board where, like, come to town, we'll protect you and make sure you don't die. But everybody... It's been going for 13 seasons and there's usually at least two homicides every episode.
So it's kind of like on Murder, She Wrote, when the guest actor comes in, that's
right.
Either the murderer or the person being murdered.
Because
right. I was like, I've never seen you before.
Right. This person's new in town. Kill them!
Right.
So that this one is an anthology film.
Mm-hmm.
You do get different dynamics, different snippets. Sometimes it's monsters, sometimes it's maniacs. That said, I don't know. I think I found one out of four compelling. And that was the Brian Cox one. Did you, what, you like it more?
I liked all of them.
Yeah.
I think there's some really funny parts of it that it's not, like, you shouldn't laugh with the man and the kid.
Yeah, I thought it was a little hokey. Yeah, when Dylan Baker is kind of, well, he's the school principal, right? All the kids know him.
Yeah.
Which makes it, you know, kind of extra creepy. There are a couple things that, you know what? I will say that. It deserves a little credit for, like, pushing some boundaries.
It's very uncomfortable. A lot of the stories are really uncomfortable. I thought, yeah, the man and the boy, that's a very uncomfortable, but kind of really funny.
This movie is very comfortable with child death.
Yeah.
All these traditions. Jack-o'-lanterns. Putting on costumes. Handing out treats. They were started to protect us, but nowadays, no one really cares.
And I thought the overall ghost story of the little guy.
That I liked, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that's a great, another, though very uncomfortable, the parents have kids with disabilities, mental, physical disabilities, and say, you know what? I'd rather not be the parent of this kid anymore. So let's put all the
not just that,
Island of Misfit toys on this bus.
Being
and
able to
see you later.
Rally the other parents. Okay, so what you're talking about specifically is the sort of legend that this town has a quarry. At the bottom of the quarry is like this. It's supposed to be this bottomless lake, but there's a bus sticking right out of it. So it's what, 12 feet deep.
The Halloween school bus massacre. Don't call it that.
What's she talking about?
It's this awesome town legend. It was this bus full of crazy...
Jesus, will you shut up and let me tell the damn story?
The townspeople, those of which who were parents to kids with disabilities...
Yes.
You know, all sent their kids to school on this one bus. And then they collaborated and schemed and talked the bus driver into driving their kids off a cliff.
And it's a lot of kids, too. It's not just like one or two.
Yeah.
It's quite a few kids.
I mean, that's like a PTA meeting's worth of kids where, like, how do you talk those many parents into this and be like, okay, everybody on board? Yay or nay?
And everyone says, yes, I agree, and I won't rat you out if I don't agree. I won't rat you out anyway.
Right, my kid will be sick that day.
Exactly. Like, how did you all take this unanimous vote to send these kids over the edge here?
Well, it's a play date. Maybe it's a play date where they're just like, oh, and by the way, we're going to kill our kid. Do you have any interest
in
that?
I wonder which parent
also
is the first parent to come up with this idea and present it. Like, and the wife, the husband comes up with this idea, and maybe the wife will be like, Why don't you ask the Davises? See how, feel the Davises out and see what goes on.
They don't seem to like their kid at all.
They have similar feelings. And then I wonder too, because there's so many of relatively the same age group, what the fuck was in the water at that time?
Yeah, it's a small town
a small town with a huge number of kids.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, it's a dark thought, but like maybe it was in the era of like thalidomide babies.
Ah.
Where they're
that's
just
an interesting idea.
Consistent deformities.
It's an interesting idea.
I don't know. Maybe this town is irradiated, like the hills have eyes.
Could be. Or like Chernobyl.
Yeah. Well, actually, speaking of the kids, this is interesting because it is Halloween and kids are trick or treating, but it's also night shoots. That requires a lot of kids, and kids have only certain hours that they can work. So they used a lot of little people, dressed them up in their Halloween outfits, and just so the like.
So
not
they
since
contacted the union, that like you know, because certain like special actors with special talents or special looks have a
Is
different
there really,
union.
Do you think?
Well, yeah, there's different. I mean, all different kinds. So like, you're represented by different like maybe representatives. So you're a tattooed guy, you're gonna have a different. You're going to have the same probably manager as other tattoo guy and other tattoo.
Okay, who specializes in that kind of thing.
Yeah, you're a guy with piercings all over your face. You're going to have a different manager. So you're a casting director and you want maybe someone a little bit out of the box.
They're like, get the Wonka Factory on the line.
Yeah, and then they'll call them up. And that is how you do it.
Yeah, so that story, both ends of that, I enjoyed. I like the sort of haunted quarry and the sort of dickhead kids who use that to pull a prank on a girl who seemingly has developmental disabilities herself. Yes. And so, like, that's ultra fucked up.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of bullying.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kids, but it's just, it's weird. Like, I don't even think I knew any kids who egged other kids on Halloween. Like, I guess I hung with a pretty decent crowd. We got hit with eggs occasionally, but that was usually like out of towners driving through town.
Because you're a nerd, and then they hit you with eggs. No, we didn't really tear shit up. That wasn't really something we ever did.
Your houses were so far between each other. Is there even going door to door?
I never did, no, because I didn't live in town. I lived out in the country.
Right.
And occasionally, like, I would be, when I got older in high school and stuff, I would go into town because you'd have parties or whatever. Okay. But for trick-or-treating, no, you got in the car and you went and drove to go see grandma, grandpa. You went to go see family, friends.
Oh, that sucks. I mean,
actually, it's awesome because since, like, I was, like, a special trick-or-treater, I got, like, bags.
Not
like,
in the way these school short bus kids are.
Not like that. I never got pushed into a quarry, but I would get special like bags and stuff of candy.
Okay.
Because no one else was trick or treating at my grandpa's house.
Right.
So it'd be like, here's this whole bag of candy.
Oh,
for
nice.
You.
Yeah, I grew up in a very, very suburban setting. So
and you went door to door?
Till really late, too.
I wonder, like, just because I never experienced that, but it seems really fucking dangerous.
You said a bad word.
Every year they make a big fuss about the razor blades and check your kids' candy and all that nonsense. But, like, frankly, statistics have played out that, like, if someone's going to hurt a kid, it's going to be a relative of that kid.
Sure, sure.
So, actually, you should have had your eyes. You should have been on head on a swivel around that family scenario.
Grandpa will be like, I'm putting razor blades in this one this time.
This is for the last time you sassed me.
He did the Monster Mash.
I will mention, and I was disappointed that you disagreed with me when we talked about this outside of the podcast. I thought that the werewolf transformation was really awesome, and you thought not so much.
I liked the werewolf transformations. I liked the effects, and we're going to be vague about that so as not to give spoilers, but I just wasn't compelled by, like, the before and after.
It was really gross. I thought it was so gross.
So the before and afters you kind of saw coming, but yeah, I don't know. That's the thing that I guess werewolves don't scare me anymore.
Yeah, I just thought it was really gruesome, and I thought it
and
was really
nice. And most of the carnage
happens
before the characters even intermingle.
It's true.
It's kind of like, hey, look around at all these bloody bodies. Meanwhile, they're not actually surrounded by werewolves. So it's just kind of like, what, did everybody mass suicide at the same time? Happy
Maybe.
Halloween?
Maybe. That's scary.
It is, but that's not the story they were telling. So yeah, the werewolf thing, I think it could have been better done. I thought the effects were great. It was just kind of uncompelling, if that's a word. The only segment I really liked was the pumpkin-headed boy who torments Brian Cox. So that's the sort of bookend where, you know, it's no big spoiler, but Brian Cox is the curmudgeon-y old guy who turns out was the bus driver.
Yeah, that'll do her.
All right.
Also, how do you get the bus driver to agree to this?
Well, he was probably an angry drunk always. He's certainly an angry drunk later in life.
Yeah, probably because of the keeping it all deep down inside.
Yeah, but they don't even sort of allude to, if anything, he's kind of got a sense of humor in terms of like scaring the shit out of kids and putting the like glowing lights on his dog. That was hysterical. The dog in the doorway.
I think like a man who murdered a bunch of disabled children though probably wouldn't have that much of a sense of humor.
Trick or treat.
So Brian Cox is an old man by the time this story comes back to seek vengeance, bite him in the ass. Why do you figure it took that long? Do you think it was the kids stirring around in the quarry that sort of woke up these spirits?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what did it?
That's what did it.
Because they, all right, so that's kind of what, yeah, ghosts are just kind of reawakened. They've been hanging out at the quarry this whole
time. Yeah, they were taking a nap and totally like forgot what was going on.
It seems like it was probably like a good 20 years.
Yeah, well, they were otherwise occupied, and then the kids came and woke them up, and they were like, oh, I totally fucking forgot about this.
I'm surprised it took kids 20 years to, like, show up at the quarry and stir shit up.
That doesn't make any sense.
So the linking character is on all the like movie art is the mm-hmm. pumpkin-headed boy
yeah.
in the like sort of
clown costume,
cloth bulb yeah. head. Like it's a really funny shape. It is pumpkin-headed, but it's just a
sack.
You
don't know that until the bag is off of his head, though.
Right. It reminded me of the kid from The Orphanage.
It definitely.
The Spanish movie.
Absolutely.
Except it really is cartoonishly bulbous. I don't know. I thought it was very funny, if not cute. And then when he starts like
then
slashing
not,
at Brian
not
Cox.
Not cute at all.
But I love their sort of showdown and how he's
I
kind
love
of
when
playing
he throws
with
the little guy across the room. That shit is hilarious.
And that it's not a spirit exactly in that it's not like a ghost body. He's got a physical form. And when Brian Cox, you know, does finally get the upper hand and shoots him
mm-hmm.
and he thinks like success, he's down. And then he checks him and the boy is filled with pumpkin guts.
Yes.
That was really eerie.
Like this movie.
Well, this is the one segment I went nuts for. I really like that. And it had the shit that really keeps me up at night, the slashing of the Achilles heel.
Uh-huh.
The low to the ground menace is always what's going to terrify me. I couldn't tell you why, but
that's why I like the stabbing in the feet. That's my favorite thing ever. I was not for myself, but not a weirdo, but
I go to my acupuncturist and tell him, go nuts. So that's Trick or Treat. I have mixed feelings, but
I think it's mostly a fun one to watch on Halloween. It's like a fun Halloween movie.
Yeah. I think so long as you're paying attention for the good segments, I'll say. The bus segment.
Yeah.
And then the bookend segment. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good group watch.
Happy Halloween.
Screw you.
But you're going to go bananas for our next one, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, which is the like Halloween kind of movie, which actually its premiere in the 70s was actually, it was in 1975. The premiere was supposed to be in New York on Halloween, and then it got canceled because it was not successful until they ran it in 76 at midnight showings.
Oh, okay. So yeah. it started off as a cult classic.
Yeah, well, the show had been since like 73 in London as okay. the Rocky Horror Show.
And same director, which
same guy
kind of is apparent in the movie.
Yeah.
That there are simple settings. It's very, you know, it looks like a theatrical piece.
And it is. I mean, it was originally a musical.
Sure.
You know, meant for stage. Richard O'Brien, who wrote the music, who created the entire thing, he was a stage actor. And then he had nothing better to do one winter. He wasn't getting any work. So he goes ahead and writes Rocky Horror Picture Show. Well, okay. Rocky Horror Show. And then it gets picked up. And then it became very popular.
Okay, so Rocky Horror Picture Show is specific to the movie.
Yeah, Rocky Horror Picture Show is the movie. Rocky Horror Show is the musical.
Ah. Why is it called that?
Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Yeah.
Because Rocky Horror is the creation.
Rocky is the blonde guy?
Rocky is the creation and Horror Picture Show. Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Okay.
What is wrong with you? Why don't you get this? Why didn't you love this movie? When you told me that you didn't love it, like I didn't know what, I've never heard that.
A tepid response.
Yeah, I was I heard the words, and I knew what they were individually, like that you were saying. But then, when I tried to put them into the sentence that you were saying, it doesn't make any sense. I'm still so confused.
I'm not a musicals guy off the bat. I have mixed feelings about musicals. I appreciated that this didn't shoehorn in every bit of dialogue as song. That shit drives me bananas.
Well, it's not an opera. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed the kitsch. Overall, I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I didn't go mad for it because it's kind of, I don't know, it's hokey. I know it's deliberately hokey.
Yeah,
but
that's the point.
I don't know.
There are plenty
of things. I've got notes about what I enjoyed. I really
well. Let me
I
hear
love...
some things you because we could go into facts and figures about Rocky Horror, but so many people have. There's so much lore. There's so much to it.
Have you been to midnight showings?
Yes, of course.
Dressed up?
Of course.
Okay.
I was always Columbia, obviously.
Okay, she's the one not
the
magenta.
Tap dancer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so my notes go as follows. Tim Curry sure can move in a set of heels.
He can. It's true. That's a fact. Impressed. Factual. Yes.
Riff Raff has a beautiful singing voice.
He does. He really does. I noticed, like, when you had said, when we talked about it, and I was like, you didn't like Tim Curry? And you were like, I like Tim Curry. And then you said, but my favorite character was Riff Raff.
Yes.
Which I thought was interesting. That's interesting.
I thought it was a great character. Riff Raff, I think if he had a different haircut, he would be a very handsome guy.
But I disagree, but that's okay.
Voluntarily, you know, monsterized himself and with the hump and the hair, and you know, he's got the skullet. I thought if they ever make a remake, Jesse Ventura could play Riff Raff.
Perfect. Which they are, though. They're doing Rocky Horror Show live.
Okay.
On the BBC.
Okay.
You know how we keep doing crappy things like Sound of Music and like garbage? They're actually choosing Rocky Horror Show to do.
That's worth doing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another point was it got a consistent WTF response from me. This is an explicit podcast. It got a consistent what the fuck response from me. And amongst those, like, I was focused. I was trying to understand the lyrics, and I kept asking Rachel, what is this about?
Now, had Rachel seen this movie before?
Oh, sure.
Of course.
Yeah, she loves it.
So what did she say, though, when you didn't like it as much?
She thought it was hysterical that she had seen a movie that I had not.
Nice.
Because usually I ask her, do you know this reference? No. Do you know this reference? No. So I've gotten used to that, and I've stopped asking.
Right, right.
So of the things that stood out to me, I was like, I think through Double Entendre, Tim Curry just made fun of Susan Sarandon's vagina smell.
Sure.
Taste. Because it's some reference to, like, palate or something. And I was just like, did he just tell her her pussy smells?
And to me, like, it's interesting.
What's
happening? That's what you choose. There's so many things. So many things. And, like, that's what you're stuck on is that. Like, to me, I'd be like, did Barry Bostwick just allow Tim Curry to go down on him?
Oh, well, that was... I love that dynamic. That Tim Curry is, like, one of the greatest androgynous heroes of all time.
It's true.
Like, and I thought it's funny. It's such a low-budget production that they clearly use the same bedroom for both Susan Sarandon and Barry Bostwick.
Just change the color.
One's blue, one's red.
Right, right.
But either way, Tim Curry is going to nail them both.
Exactly. talking about the budget and sets, I didn't know if you recognized, they're at Oakley Court. This is filmed at Oakley Court, which is where Hammer films everything.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. And they actually saved some money on some of the sets and some of the props by reusing things from Hammer Films.
Oh, that's really
so
cool.
So if you notice the tank that Rocky is
that
in
actually
and the dummy, that's from Revenge
set?
Of Frankenstein. Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay.
So many of it actually, I mean, those are two big, huge set pieces that you instantly recognize.
Yeah.
But a lot of it's just stuff that was sitting around Oakley Court. That was sitting around the warehouse, and they could use it.
I love that Tim Curry's, I mean, the center of all his Frankensteining is the red tubing appliance that, like, has everything from, like, an ultra magnet to the color wheel he's going to animate Frankenstein with, that just squeezy inks, and it was just fucking ridiculous. But okay, I get it. It's not about critiquing. I will say, I loved the narrator interstitials with the old man in the office, and how even it's so infectious, this thing, that even he as the narrator kind of goes nuts.
Of course, because who doesn't want, and this is why I didn't understand why you didn't love it, because who doesn't want to just be whatever they want to be? Just be anything. And, you know, like, his title is criminologist and expert. That's his...
And the expert.
Yeah, that is his thing. And so, I don't know, of course a guy who's in a suit wants to wear some fucking high heels and dance and sing. Who doesn't want to do that?
Dance. All right, so that I loved. I don't know. Otherwise, I appreciate that it was very daring for 1975. And I don't know, it seemed like... So you said the creator of it was a stage guy who's kind of like a... you know, disgruntled stage guy who made his own, you know, Frankenstein together, this musical.
Sure, yeah.
All right, so, like, a legit question. how important were drugs in the making of this musical?
Because we'll talk about the feeling later.
Pretty big.
We mention a lot later when we do Worst Witch about drugs and bad decisions. This to me is like drugs and good decisions, drugs and genius decisions.
Okay.
I mean, just because of the time period.
Is it Coke? I guess it's Coke. Well, Coke and LSD.
I mean, I guess, like, I would say just because of the era that it was, I would say cocaine.
Yeah.
People are still probably doing speed at this time.
Well, before
it became like meth, like we know today. And this is London in the late 60s, early 70s, which is a very different dynamic as far as fashion and style and club culture goes than New York in the early 70s.
Okay. I'm still going to wager LSD had a big part in the inception of Rocky Horror Picture Show. And then you add cocaine to that. I don't remember whose joke it was, but some comedian said cocaine is the last thing you want to add to an LSD high. The last thing you want when you're having hallucinations is confidence.
That's true. But I think it worked out. This was all drugs and good decisions.
Yeah, I mean, it stands the test of time.
I mean, maybe the next time if you watched it in a theater, maybe it would be different than just watching it at home. Like, maybe you would like it a little bit more, because there's either something wrong with the way you watched it, or there's something wrong with you into why you didn't like this.
So I watched the American version. Do you know of any difference between the American version and the UK version?
There is one song edited out of the American version. Superheroes is put into the extended version later. So you might have still watched, though, an extended version. There's a whole song.
I don't remember a song called Superheroes, so maybe.
It's the end, but they cut it down in the American version. It's a full song in the extended version. And between the show, the musical, the stage show, and the movie, there are also some songs and some verses cut out.
Oh.
So you'll find those on different soundtracks, though, because Barry Bostwick did sing some of the extra verses that were cut out later. They just cut it from the United States film and from the original soundtrack.
Okay. Okay, so going from Rocky Horror, a complete 180, to, you know, a movie we would cover in any other episode.
Yeah, because, but this to me is a great, fun Halloween show.
So this movie, I guess like a lot of horror movies, it started a trend where it had a number of sequels.
Mm-hmm.
And from my understanding, they got progressively worse and worse.
And I haven't seen probably any of the extras. I think maybe I've seen the second one, but I don't think I've seen anything else.
Yeah. So the movie we're talking about is 1988's Pumpkinhead. This was a Stan Winston joint.
That's how we're going to do that.
So I was under the impression that this was Stan Winston's only film. And while it was his feature film debut, he did go on to make other movies. And
such as?
A Gnome Named Norm from 1990, which he directed with Anthony Michael Hall.
Drugs and Bad Decisions.
That one is about a gnome that comes to the surface, where the humans are, to recharge his magic stones, and that's when he witnesses a murder.
Wait, the gnome witnesses a murder?
Yes. And, yeah, that's...
Huh.
And it involves...
I mean, I think if I was a gnome, I would just be like, okay, and finish doing what I was doing and peace out. Like, why am I telling people?
If it's the first thing he sees... Don't you just assume, like, oh, that's what the humans do. They just kill each other.
Like on Sliders, when they jump to, like, another place, then they realize, like, oh, this is just how it is here.
Right. And you're looking for cues, context, you know, clues.
These people murder. Everyone murders here. Goodbye.
But, yeah, so it becomes a cop story, and the murderer
winds up
with the stones.
Anthony Michael Hall is a cop?
I'm assuming either a cop or a friendly, yeah.
Okay. He's not the gnome.
He's not the gnome. Named Norm. But yeah, so Stan Winston. Okay, back to Pumpkinhead. We'll say that Pumpkinhead is probably the only feature film Stan Winston should have made. But in any case, rest in peace, Stan Winston. We love your work. So it's based on a poem, which I was surprised by. How many feature films are based on poems?
Beowulf.
Okay,
any
well, that's an epic poem. That's a tome. So the original version of the poem goes as follows. Keep away from Pumpkinhead unless you're tired of living. His enemies are mostly dead, he's mean and unforgiven. Laugh at him and you're undone, but in some dreadful fashion, vengeance he considers fun and plans it with a passion. Time will not erase or blot a plot he has a brewing. It's when you think that he's forgot, he'll conjure your undoing. Bolted doors and windows barred, guard dogs prowling in the yard, won't protect you in your bed, nothing will from Pumpkinhead.
That was nice. That was really scary. The way you just said that. It was scary. I was scared.
So it's in the movie. It's what the kids
the Appalachian
torment.
Kids.
Yeah, they're kind of, these are some rural folk.
Yeah.
Pumpkinhead.
Y'all stop. There ain't no Pumpkinhead.
What about old Mr. Foley?
He moved away.
Uh-uh. Pumpkinhead got it.
Teared off his head and drank all the blood.
Did not.
Did too.
Shut up, Hessie.
Keep away from Pumpkinhead unless you're tired of living.
His enemies are mostly dead. He's mean and unforgiving.
Stop.
So it stars Lance Henriksen, and this I thought was a weird... I kind of love the process of listening to director's commentaries, but in this case, it was the director's commentary for Aliens.
Okay.
Where someone is talking up Lance Henriksen that, like, he's, you know, he commits to this stuff, and what he really enjoys doing is having, like, a physical something to use as an anchor for his character.
Sure,
so, like,
sure.
A totem that'll dictate his performance. Mm-hmm. And in this case, he had a pair of dentures made, which would sort of exaggerate like some buck teeth, kind of rural looking.
Interesting, yeah.
And if it only gets on camera like maybe two times, but his front tooth is hard chipped.
Yes, I see. I didn't know that. And I thought, his teeth are really fucked up. Because I noticed it a lot.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that's weird. I don't remember his teeth being chipped in anything else.
They're
and then
not.
I'm like recalling other things that I'd seen him in. And I was like, that's so strange.
Pretty cool stuff. And I mean, they're a really neat commitment from Lance Henriksen.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk him up when we do the Alien series. But that preceded this. And so that we're assuming is where Stan Winston and Lance Henriksen first worked together. And not for nothing, but the Pumpkinhead design.
Uh-huh.
Kind of looks like the Xenomorph from Aliens.
Of course, it's an alien for sure-sies.
Right, it looks like the Xenomorph if it was made out of like sort of soft mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I wondered why, because I get the idea they call him Pumpkinhead because he's in a pumpkin patch, but I remember being, because I watched this a long time ago, probably on Halloween with friends like in junior high, and being disappointed because he didn't actually have a pumpkin
for a head.
Like, it's just that's stupid. Don't name things like that.
Well, they didn't want to call it Pumpkinhead. They thought that would have been a little hokey, and so they had different terrible replacements like Vengeance, a story of blah 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 and stuff
I see.
But I don't know. I think Pumpkinhead is iconic, and mm-hmm. you know, they've certainly made enough of these movies that they've gotten their money's worth.
Right.
But yeah, so the synopsis goes as follows. A man conjures up a vengeful demon called Pumpkinhead to destroy the teenagers who accidentally killed his son.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some old-looking teenagers.
I don't think the synopsis is accurate.
I think they meant like mid-20s, mid-30s people.
It was the 80s. Everybody looked way older.
They did. They did used to look old in the 80s.
I mean, have you ever seen your parents' high school yearbook? Everyone, it looks like a senior class of narcs.
Yeah.
They're just, everyone's an undercover cop.
It's true. Everyone had a mustache and like a serious one at that.
And a mortgage. Stan Winston, not for nothing, the visuals in the movie are brilliant. Like,
uh-huh.
It is
yes.
a great looking film. And you know, we're not just talking the monster, but the cinematography on it is really well done. There's a moment where Lance Henriksen has his son in his arms. He's brought him home mm-hmm. after the injury. And, you know, it's kind of, it's very perfectly framed. Like, he's sat in just the right spot.
And nice backlighting. It's beautiful.
It's like a...
It's like Fosse. It reminded me of Fosse. A few times he plays with that hard, hard light in the back. But it makes a nice like glow
Fosse,
around
the,
everybody.
The Broadway guy?
Yeah.
Fosse.
Fosse loved backlighting because it creates this angelic kind of...
Yeah. And in this case, yes, there's like, you know, sort of dusty smoke in the background. So the atmospheric lighting is coming through the window. It looks like a Rembrandt painting.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. There's a great shot when he has dug up Pumpkinhead, the body.
Mm-hmm.
He's standing on top of this pumpkin patch and it's a raised up area. And to me, it was Evil Dead through and through.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it was a nod to Sam Raimi, because the color is beautiful. It looks like the cover of Army of Darkness, honestly.
Oh, okay.
It's beautiful right there.
Yeah, and it's even exaggerated in the score. Mm-hmm. I mean, in that moment in particular, but it's this really loud, over the top. The moment the shovel goes into the dirt, it's a very loud stinger, and I think it's even meant to exaggerate that sort of homage moment.
Yeah, because I know that. Army of Darkness would come later, but it was very much the first two Evil Deads, I thought. And I really liked it. I love this movie.
So once this kid is killed, and he's initially injured, he kind of seemingly dies from his wounds. These people are not really...
They've let him sit for a while.
And there's no doctors or hospitals. They're in the holler proper. This is Appalachia.
And we even made a point, because I was watching with my husband. My husband had never seen this movie.
Yeah.
And we kind of think, the dad is kind of responsible for the kid dying as well, because you got to take the kid to the hospital.
Right. There's no amount of, backwoods magic medicine that's going to cure his internal injuries.
Yeah, taking a kid home and hugging him till he's better or dies is not the answer. That's
not for
not
nothing,
the solution.
But he doesn't even get down on his knees and pray for God to fix
his
son.
He's decided the kid's going to die, and he's withholding medical help at that point.
So there's an undercurrent to this movie of, anti-Christianity. Now, bear with me.
Okay, all right.
So never asks for God's help. No one ever, which is actually common enough in, sort of rural, poor areas. So there's that. Once Pumpkinhead is animated, the one girl who's with the city kids who killed the guy is a very, she's praying and holding her cross. And when it comes time to kill her, Pumpkinhead carves a cross in her forehead.
There's a lot of crosses in this movie all the way through.
When they wind up at the half-built church in the woods, the sort of assumption is that this is a holy place. Maybe Pumpkinhead won't come into it. And Pumpkinhead doesn't give a fuck.
No, Pumpkinhead doesn't care.
So he barges in. And when faced with the giant crucifix that was built in the church, he knocks that shit over and stomps it down.
Yeah.
So I think that's more than subtext. There were a couple moments where Pumpkinhead is unconcerned with any religious, traditional.
No, because he is a backwoods kind of monster guy. It's not any, they say that he's a demon, but it's actually has nothing to do with a Christianity kind of version of demon.
And I thought it might even, the sort of aggression towards religion might even stem from the idea that it was described that the place, the quote pumpkin patch where he was dug up from, was actually a cemetery for those children that parents didn't want.
Right.
So if a child was born with a deformity, which is kind of the assumption of what Pumpkinhead is, he's the spirit of a deformed child who was abandoned. And in theory, those kinds of kids wind up in purgatory. And I could see an anti-religious bent coming out of that.
Yeah, I definitely could see that for sure.
So none of it really gets said aloud, but it's there. I thought that was kind of a cool thing to sort of.
And there's crosses a lot. Even sometimes the trees are lit to look like a really cut and dry cross.
Yeah, this is the bluest, most moonlit night ever when they're running around.
And it becomes night all of a sudden. It's daytime. Then he goes to see the old woman, and it's night.
And
suddenly.
It's night for the next 3 days.
It's midnight with no moon.
Who are you?
Here in Harlem, I thought.
Brave raising the dead ain't within my power.
Yeah, well, the moon backlights the trees constantly, they are, and mist.
It's very foggy.
I've never been in the woods. If it ever happens, I know to get the fuck out because a horror movie is about to ensue.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen mist in the woods. Have you?
Yeah.
You have?
No.
Does it happen at
it comes
sunrise and sunset?
No, sometimes the fog out where I live, because it's not woods, it's actually...
Pink Floyd concert?
No. It's cornfields and just completely open lands. And then what you have is patches of woods, in a strip.
Sure.
because that'll cut down on wind resistance into the fields.
Okay.
But sometimes it's so thick you can't see in front of you.
Wow.
And it moves just like fake, like fog, like you'd see in a movie. It just moves like, I'll go back to the guest when she kicks her boot over to see where he is.
Yeah.
And it all just dissipates. That's how it actually acts. It's so thick out there in the middle of the cornfields and stuff.
That's terrifying.
You can't see in front of you. It's outrageous. Well, I think it's worth mentioning that Blossom is one of the Appalachian kids.
Oh, yeah.
And also the bitchy
Mayim
girl.
Mayim Bialik, right?
Yeah, I can never say her name.
Who's now like a physicist or...
Yeah.
She's, or, I mean, also on the Big Bang Theory, yeah. But she's a legitimate scientist.
Yeah, yeah. And she's
but
also...
back then she was just a dirt kid.
Yeah, with no shoes and filth on her face, whatever. and also the fancy girl, the rich, like popular friend from My So-Called Life... is also one of the dirt leg kids.
Okay, is she the older sister who argues with the kid before he goes out? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The weird bit of trivia, but Gypsy the dog, who it might be argued is responsible for that kid getting killed. Like,
but
it
she
ran
feels
out.
Really bad about it. The dog.
The dog, you think?
Yeah,
because
it's like
bad
crying, after? Like.
Yeah, I guess it kind of looks at the. Yeah, it hangs around the kid.
Yeah.
After it's been injured. Yeah.
It feels bad.
There's no getting around it.
That dog murdered that child.
I mean, it's like involuntary manslaughter. So my point was Gypsy is actually Barney from Gremlins.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dog same, named Mushroom is the dog's real name.
Same Hollywood dog. Mushroom. Who names their dog Mushroom?
That's a stupid name.
They didn't expect it to be a movie star. Maybe that's why.
Probably better than Gypsy because it's not a slur, you know?
Oh, fair point. Oh, there was a... this was kind of cool. So when the asshole city folk are banging on the neighbors' doors trying to get some help from the locals, someone pulls a gun on them. And tells them to, you know, beat it, scram. And they're asking, why won't you help us? And the guy tells them, you've been marked. And I thought, like, that's really creepy. But it's also interesting that, like, the locals know.
Of course.
And it was also reminiscent of Scott Snyder's The Witches. Or just Witches. And the idea of, like, pledged is pledged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no coming out from that.
I like that, like... this sort of inside track where the locals know what's up and everyone else, you know, is just sort of asking for help desperately.
And you're like, nope, see you later.
When Pumpkinhead is doing his duty, murdering these kids, he is extraordinarily smart for like a one day old in that one of the teenagers thinks they're going to get away on the motorcycles and then tries to start it and then no go.
Pumpkinhead is like a mechanic.
They cut to Pumpkinhead and he is holding the chain to the motorcycle and kind of going like, like he's showing his teeth and he's very proud of himself. And I was just like, that is incredibly intuitive. If you were to give me a box of tools and a week, I wouldn't be able to get a chain off of a motorcycle. But Pumpkinhead thought of that shit before the kid even got there.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't know how to take that off. So if I was Pumpkinhead, I would just use sheer force and I would probably, like, rip the tires off or something.
Right, that's the kind of easy move, slash the tires. But no, Pumpkinhead was making a point. I'm smarter than you are. I'm one step ahead. He's like a Bond villain.
Well, those kids aren't very smart. They were kidnapped, essentially, by their friend, being held hostage by their own friend.
Joel was in another accident a couple months ago, and a girl was hurt. He's on probation right now. If the police find out about
they're not going to find out about it.
Look, man, I'm real sorry about that, but that little boy down there needs our help now.
Joel. Just give me the keys, all right?
All right, I'm not going to proselytize about like who you should date and who you shouldn't, but in this case, they make a point of the like head dickhead of these city folk who come in and ruin everything. They make a point that he is like... an ex-con on parole for
he's on probation
hurting another girl. And meanwhile, like, that's the girl coming to his defense. Like, you have to explain, you have to you have to understand his motives. He's already, he's got one strike. And
but they're all friends. With, she's well, got his I guess side. The one's the brother of his. So the brother has to like hang around him.
Yeah.
Which the brother, I don't know if you thought this, the brother was a really bad actor. And I thought to myself, he sounds like, this is the character Steve. He sounds like the character in Brain Candy that makes a pill to give worms to ex-girlfriends.
He does. All is the it Bruce
inflection
McCullough?
Is, yeah, yeah. All the inflection is very similar to that, except for like Bruce McCullough's making a joke, and this guy was legitimately saying his lines, right?
You just don't get it.
It's a pill that gives worms to ex-girlfriends. And that's how Steve delivers all his lines, and I go, oh my God, I wonder if that's where he got the idea.
Oh, the kids in the hall wasn't
it's
even
It's the weirdest
out.
Speech pattern that I've ever heard in my life.
It was a weird casting choice. I will give you that. Maybe it was someone's cousin. Or they're just like, hey, best boy or grip, you've been promoted. You're going to be in this movie. Here's your
$20.
Headband.
Read this line. It's a pill. It's so funny. It was like, made me keep laughing. Every time he would start talking, I'd be like, oh my God, this is so weird.
Late in the movie, there is some irresponsible farmhand who left a pitchfork out face up. Although we've already established Pumpkinhead is very smart, he might have set a trap.
But it backfired
the
on
him. The mistake is that Lance Henriksen is the one who stumbles and trips and stabs himself in the arm
right.
with this pitchfork.
Now he's sharing a psychic link with Pumpkinhead, so...
Yeah, I like that as a...
I like how Pumpkinhead's features become more and more... human. Yes. I really, really liked that.
That was very, very cool.
You know, I thought that was beautiful work on the monster.
Yeah.
He was really actually very beautiful. I mean, I know it looks like alien, but...
Not at that point, though. Like, when they humanized his face, it became something, yeah. something like, even more unsettling. Yeah. And
yeah, he's great.
I love the movie. I think it actually suffers from its own greatness in that they might show Pumpkinhead a little too much.
Yes, I would say that. I would definitely say that it's too much because you know how I like to only see it just a little bit.
Yeah, imply. Don't hit you over the head with it. But yeah. I think they thought, like, this monster's the best thing we got going for us. Let's make the most of it. And, you know, they could have held back a little bit more and sort of left him in shadows and silhouettes. He's got a great silhouette. They could have done that. But, yeah, overall, great, great flick. A lot of fun. And I didn't see it becoming like a sort of teens cabin in the woods kind of scenario. Mm-hmm. And that was also cool. Okay. For a change of pace, we're going to do commentary over one of the strangest, probably worst Halloween movies, but it's one that apparently I have a sentimental attachment to because
we
had it on tape as a kid before I had any taste.
Well, it said it aired on HBO every October until the late 1990s.
That's where I would have seen it.
I was too poor for HBO, so I have never seen this.
It's all we had.
It's all I had. We did not have HBO because we didn't have cable or premium channels. Forget about it.
Yeah, or running water, electricity.
Exactly. You know how it is.
So the movie is The Worst Witch, starring Fairuza Balk, Charlotte Ray from Facts of Life, Tim Curry, Diana Rigg.
What's Diana Rigg from?
I don't know, but she gets top billing.
Oh, yes, you know. She's Emma Peel. Emma Peel from The Avengers.
Oh.
Okay. And I'm a little even more excited.
Fairuza Balk, I'm guessing it's roles like these that got her return to Oz.
I never saw it. I only ever saw The Wiz. And then I used to think, this is how I grew up because this is what's wrong with me. Of the many things, I thought that The Wizard of Oz was like a copy of The Wiz growing up.
Just done white?
Yeah, I was like, this is like a really bad remake. I thought it was a remake, like a really boring remake of
The
Wiz.
These songs have no soul, like that?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, because I grew up, and I remember one time, you know how kids say things when they think they're really funny and really clever?
Sure.
And I remember like correcting somebody about like, no, The Wiz was first. And like I'm still embarrassed
and
about
they
it.
Ask
like
you, do you think Diana Ross is 85 years old?
I didn't know the date. Like I just thought, like, oh, this movie is like a lame version of The Wiz.
I used to do that stuff. I thought La Bamba was a documentary when I saw it as a little kid. So when I saw Lou Diamond Phillips in another movie, I was like, Ritchie Valens lived. He's alive. Okay.
Oh, we were stupid kids.
Here we go. I'm going to be editing out the best part, so this isn't going to be an hour-long section of this podcast. I will be highlighting the best moments that we narrate and joke about.
Yay, I'm excited. Are you ready?
Ready. Okay, we open with Hogwarts. Oh, my mistake. It's Miss Cackle's International Academy for Witches.
That went fast, and I couldn't read it fast enough.
All right, she's a powerful witch, but she needs to snap her fingers to indicate magic is happening?
And if she was so powerful, maybe she'd get that cat another eye.
She has a one-eyed cat? Now that's creepy.
I'm excited already.
By Jill Murphy. Right, this is based on
It's based on children's books.
Mm.
She's a strange-looking girl.
You know, she's a bulk. Yeah, she had to grow into that look.
Yeah. She's got X-ray eyes.
I like it. It's like chemistry class for witches.
Yeah. Have you seen Harry Potter?
Yeah, some of them. Some girls already show an aptitude. They can make fire by snapping their fingers.
And Emma Peel likes to, like, get high off the fumes. Did you notice that?
That was weird.
It's like a teacher who smells markers, you know?
Yeah. Did you ever work with a chemistry set when you were a kid? Because this all appeals to me. I love this.
No, I mean, I took chemistry class and did this stuff, but I didn't have, like, a chemistry set.
Yeah. I think the only thing I ever made was a slightly corrosive element that ate at the floorboards in my room.
Oh, excellent. That's probably why I did not have a chemistry set, as we had wall-to-wall carpeting, and that would have been horrible. Because I was a very clumsy child.
Like the worst witch.
Yeah, you don't want to give me stuff that's corrosive. Oh, I wondered what was I got confused.
It's a laughing
potion? It's a laughing sort of potion.
What good is that?
Just start laughing, girls. Just start laughing.
This is totally something they could fake. They accidentally made an invisibility potion. Harry Potter needed a blanket for that, or cape, or
that was amazing.
Shroud, or whatever. Maybe they just died. Maybe the rest of this movie is just like, let's find, it's a mystery of how
it was acid. It burnt them up entirely. What if they don't reappear?
This is
going
to be 58 minutes of procedural trying to figure out what happened to the worst witch.
I feel like it's not a failure to make yourself invisible. I mean, I know you're supposed to make yourself laugh, but this doesn't seem like a failure.
Given the option between a laughing spell and an invisibility spell, they can get fucked. I think invisibility is way better.
Obviously, invisibility always beats laughing potion. This is stupid. The best witch is what she should be called. The best witch.
She's a natural. Charlotte Ray is very forgiving. I wonder why she employs such nightmarish teachers.
Who's this? There's a new character.
She has a phone on her broom.
She's the
very
coolest
fashionable.
One. That's the coolest witch. That's a different movie.
How's that phone maintained when she's flying? I don't buy it. That's fucked up.
What the fuck?
She appeared out of nowhere to eavesdrop in their classes. Did she keep their potion? Because she came out of nowhere.
Is she the bat?
She's got a spider sense for gossip. Now that I've scared the shit out of you, try and go to sleep. Like, that's when your parents would threaten to beat you, and then it's like, now get to sleep. It'd be like, all right, well, my life flashed before my eyes. Now I'm meant to just go unconscious. She was not the bat. The bat is covering up because it's also scared of him.
Everyone's scared of him, appeal.
Charlotte Ray is also playing her twin, her evil twin with pink hair.
Oh, so it is like Gemma and the Misfits, kind of. She's a lesbian?
I can see that.
Wait. Oh, yeah, because it was Emma Peel who was supposed to be with the Grand Wizard, which
the Grand
I'm not making that up.
Who Tim Curry is playing. And, you know, on the side, he leads the clan.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that girl with the eyebrows already.
She's the popular one, you can tell.
Her eyebrows are so fierce.
She's the favorite for best witch.
I don't know what they're saying. They're whispering, and it's a secret even to the viewer.
When's the next song?
I bet these guys are going to sing a song, like right now.
I sure hope they sing an evil witch
song. Like a cool
song.
Yeah, a cool bad song.
They're planning an attack on the school. Oh, all right. Well, she's like Voldemort with pink hair.
Oh.
Sung in the woods with a tree obstructing them.
Yeah,
like,
you couldn't have filmed that better.
Concert tickets. Well, the good news is we can film the shot from downhill. The bad news is there's going to be a tree right in the middle of everything.
Like, what the hell?
It's like they shot this without a permit, and they're just like, we just gotta, I mean, you know the song. Just sing the fucking song. We'll film it. We gotta get out of here. She's got a dead tooth. I don't know if that's meant to be an effect, like she's missing the tooth, or it's just she's rocking a black tooth.
I don't know, because she kind of has meth face, so it's like hard to, like, it could be really her teeth.
It's one way to hide your addiction is just to green hair, punk rock it out. No, I'm a witch. I don't have a drug problem at all.
This isn't methamphetamine.
I got this under control.
The singing is bad.
You think so? I don't.
You don't think that singing's bad?
It's just not suited to the situation.
She winked at me, and I liked it. Oh, everyone gets a cat. Everyone gets a cat. Hey, don't grab him by the throat like she was doing. Did you notice? That's not how we hold cats.
She is the worst witch.
You didn't even give the cat a chance to ride on the broom. She just put it right in the bag and cheated.
No, that's the tragedy of low expectations. Like, that's why you're going to fail every time, because you don't believe in yourself.
The cat's terrified. He's going to jump out. I'm scared for the cat. The scene is really scary, you guys.
And in the wide shot, the cat's not even in the satchel.
Okay, we're treated with a very nice portrait of the Grand Wizard, and I'm excited because I still haven't seen him.
I love saying Grand Wizard. Tim Curry, he could have argued that, like, you know, change it to, like, Warlock in Command or
yeah, I'm surprised by the use of Grand Wizard because this movie was in, like,
I'd wager it was an English story, and I think the Klan is probably less represented there.
Yes, because remember when Krispy Kreme did the Krispy Kreme Club? This was maybe a few years ago.
The
and they
KKK?
Didn't. Yeah, so they had printed out all the, like, promotional materials in England, and it was KKK, and they had to take it all back because they didn't think about it.
What do the worst witch and Krispy Kreme have in common? The Klan.
The Klan.
I like that she is the worst witch, but at least she has one friend who's debatably worse witch.
That's probably
than she is.
She surrounds herself with someone, like, stupider than her. That's why I hang out with you.
They're kissing pictures of Tim Curry.
That's like me as a child kissing pictures of me, Tim Curry. These girls are acting like me at their same age.
I guess for them, this is like One Direction.
I thought Tim Curry was so freaking cool when I was little. I thought he was the sexiest
Rocky
guy
Horror
in
Picture
town.
Show?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought he was the sexiest guy in town. Ages like he's 9 through 15, I thought this.
I guess it's all about swagger because he's not, I mean, he's not an ugly guy.
He's not a good
guy. But he's not
guy.
A sharp-chinned fella.
I thought he was so handsome.
Well, you think John Malkovich is handsome.
I do love me Bella some John Lugosi. Malkovich.
Got weird taste, and all these guys could be the Grand Wizard.
It's, you know what, because it's about personality for me. It's more about personality.
It would have to be, yeah. Everyone rides broom side saddle. I wonder if that's a woman thing. Do you think in, like, Warlock school, everyone's riding it like a motorcycle?
Maybe
crotch rocket.
I would think so. It's very ladylike this way.
It is. I bet those punk rock witches ride that shit between their legs.
I bet they do, too, because they're fucking cool and stuff.
She has a picture of Tim Curry in her locker, just
Much
like you did.
Me. Yes, Tim Curry is here.
Tim Curry has just floated in from behind the
I'm so excited. Can't wait till he sings to me.
No broom for this guy. He's
no,
just got
he
a cape
need it.
The size of a circus tent.
He's Grand Wizard.
Enter the Grand Wizard. And all the black students feel really uncomfortable.
It's great to be here with you young witches on this fabulous night. Remember, girls, show the world. Let them know it's Halloween.
Everyone knows it's Halloween, Tim Curry.
Tim Curry, maybe it's like... All right, we're starting with the Tim
so
Curry musical.
This is so exciting.
You were saying the songwriters are actually people of note.
Yeah,
who
they're
Well, even more like the lyricist has actually worked with Andrew Lloyd Webber and done musicals.
I think Andrew Lloyd Webber probably cared. He's just pulling props out from below from where the camera can see.
I showed this clip to my friend and we decided this was the epitome of drugs and bad decisions.
It was the 80s. Was it the 80s or was it the early 90s?
It was the 80s.
86? 86, yeah.
I like when he tries to seduce me like that. I'll fall
Tim
for
Curry it. Tim Curry in those eyes.
See?
Except he's staring at children. This whole song is done in front of
I like
children.
To imagine that it's for me. He's singing to me. Now he's doing this ribbon
Meanwhile,
dancer dance for me.
Meanwhile, that evil teacher is just flowing like the Ganges.
Oh my god, my dog might turn into a cat.
He's got green screen under his cape, so now that's... These are just words that rhyme.
Oh my god, this is like gold.
He just pulled out a sun.
This is Halloween gold.
And they've keyed in the lower part of his body to show blood running. And now more props.
Yeah, I don't even know what I'm looking at here. Oh, that's a VHS?
Oh.
Or what the fuck is this?
Yeah, it's a VHS tape.
Oh. From London to Idaho.
This there is, are no students from Idaho.
This is what Don Black did for lyrics on this.
It's
My
like
favorite
said,
line
we're
is coming
tomorrow.
Up. Because I've seen this too many times. I could sing this word for word.
Now in the mix, I can already hear the tambourine. There's foreshadowing.
Here we go.
And it's 80s cube vision. Your hair turned green? He said sardine, but they showed a whale.
I'm like even getting into the dancing. Yeah, of course we've seen your tambourine. It's in your goddamn hand. Has anybody seen your tambourine? It's in your fucking hand. Don't be stupid, Tim Curry. Don't play coy with me. What is he doing? Like, how much money did he make from
Holy
this?
Holy shit, they paid Tim Curry in coke.
Yes, drugs and bad decisions. Well, you know, it was, I mean, I know that song forward and backward, and I'm not disappointed by its place in this movie.
Miss Hardbroom is so turned on
she
in
is.
This children's movie.
Tim Curry is, like, seducing her, too.
Yeah, well,
or maybe just me. Maybe he's just seducing me.
I'd wager he seduces most women.
Is he seducing you right now? Probably.
It's not really working on me, I gotta say.
Maybe he's gonna like her. She's gonna fuck up, and then he's gonna
like
it.
That would make this movie, if it became a Lolita as a witch scenario.
Yes.
Where the Grand Wizard, you know what? As long as he's lynching people, it's, you know, not the worst thing he could do is sort of fall in love with the 13-year-old girl. She called the child abominable.
Why is everyone shitting their pants because she fucked up? Number one, they knew she was going to fuck up.
They're so
she
embarrassed.
Sucks.
It would be great if Tim Curry just set them all on fire and that's what they were afraid of. Like, it's like, you've ruined everything, the worst witch. He'll kill us all now. I thought she was going the other way. She's talking about running away, but I thought she was going to, we've got no choice, and start strangling the cats. Like, I'll kill myself next.
And you think, as many things as she's fucking up, her parents would be called in and there would be a conference.
Yeah.
Maybe she's a fuck up because her parents are, like, not, like, involved in her life.
We weren't paying great attention. She might be an orphan.
How are they twins, but, like, with completely different accents?
Maybe she's, like, more of a doppelganger than a twin.
I got you.
Or maybe she was adopted by an evil family, or I don't know. It's a real nurture versus nature debate.
Oh, they're smelling. They can smell the girl.
The worst witch is also the worst smelling witch.
Yes, she is. Worst witch hygiene.
Is there a connection between Fairuza Balk in this movie encountering the Grand Wizard and then American History X, where she's in love with Edward Norton as a neo-Nazi? Were they planting seeds at
Maybe.
This point?
Because she also did The Craft, so all her movies seem to be tied together.
It's a slippery slope from here.
Oh, now everyone likes her because she saved the day somehow. But I'm unclear exactly on how she saved the day.
by bringing terrible witches into the school.
Into the school.
Are they in the, like, school prison? Is it
like
that? I
don't know, because now everyone's dressed who was not dressed a few seconds ago in the robe.
I'm impressed Tim Curry can go this down key when he's had so much cocaine in his face.
His eyes are really puffy.
Yeah.
I think he sobered up and made and like saw these bad decisions and made a little cry fest and now filmed this scene.
Tim Curry is asking a 13-year-old if she has plans.
13-year-old Mindy would be like, no, I don't. Are they going on a date?
Is that broom got room for two?
It does.
And by broom, I mean your penis.
Oh, they're flying away together. They're going to go get married.
She's like, wait, they called me the worst witch behind my back? Was this happening the whole time?
I was the worst witch.
What a backhanded compliment. You're not the worst witch anymore.
Special visual effects. I wouldn't want
specials
my name on
quotes.
That. Yeah, right?
The only person who's credited is in quotes.
Wow. Well, like, I equally loved it and also thought it was garbage, but loved it too, maybe? I liked all the Tim Curry, but I wish Tim Curry was more obviously in it.
I think it would have been a stronger movie if that was the case. It would have been great if he dressed down the other witches and, like, you got to see why he's the Grand Wizard, aside from the lynching.
I mean, you know he's the Grand Wizard because he flies around in that cape and sings that song and looks for his tambourine.
So that was the worst witch.
I enjoyed it.
Did you?
I mean, I can see, like, if you're a child that you would, you know, have, like, if you watch this every year up until the late 90s, I can see where, you know, you would have a special place in your heart. That's why I want you to watch Something Wicked This Way Comes, because that is this kind of a movie to me.
All right. I'll have a look at that one. It's funny to think that this we had on VHS. We taped it from HBO, and I watched it probably more than once a year since 1986 when it came out. Wow. Okay. That explains a lot.
If I had known about that, I can't believe I didn't know about it just because I loved Tim Curry so much growing up. So, like, I'm really surprised I didn't know about it. And I feel, like, disappointed in myself as a fan. I think this collection of movies, they don't have anything to do really with one another. There's nothing that ties them all together except for that I think they're great movies to get some friends together and watch on Halloween. It's a nice party movies, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think overall, absolutely. And I think, you know,
we can nerd out about...
In the case of Trick or Treat, I think it needs friends chime in.
But we can nerd out about, you know, the ins and outs of other movies, but sometimes, like, you just want to watch some horror movies.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And on Halloween, I think you just want to watch something fun.
Yeah.
I think last Halloween, I watched Leprechaun from the Hood or something.
In the Hood?
Leprechaun. In the Hood, whatever. The Hood. That's what I watched. That's also a great Halloween movie.
Okay, so that's it for this episode of Halloween. We'll say Halloween fun.
Yeah, Halloween fun. And maybe next episode, I'll be done with this cold.
Listeners who haven't noticed yet, Mindy's recovering.
It's like 3 weeks in a row now.
That's why I'm going to do the outro. We are The Rants Macabre. We are at The Rants Macabre on Facebook and Twitter. Our website is therantsmacabre.com. You've been listening to The Rants Macabre, a presentation of the Fangoria Podcast Network, produced by Darren Rosario and Thomas DeFeo, and executive produced by Ken Hanley of Fangoria Entertainment. For press opportunities, advertising inquiries, and information about The Rants Macabre, contact Ken at fangoria.com. That's it for me, Darren, signing off.
And this is Mindy.
Happy Halloween.